Tonight, Fresh Off the Boat moves into its regular Tuesday night time slot on ABC TV, the first show in 20 years to center around an Asian American family. It's inspired by the 2013 memoir of former restaurateur and TV show host Eddie Huang, and Eddie provided the pilot's narration.
This is the story of my family, an American family, the Huangs. That's my dad. He loved everything about America. Full on bought into the American dream. Mom's was always hard on me, way before all that Tiger Mom stuff. She thought I was trying to cause trouble wearing that Nas shirt, but she didn't understand. If you were an outsider, hip-hop was your anthem, and I was definitely the black sheep in my family.
Eddie Huang praised the pilot in the New York Times, but he's also blasted the show on Twitter for neutering his experience growing up Taiwanese-American and one of the few minority kids in his well-to-do Florida neighborhood. In his book, he talked frankly about the violence he grew up with both inside and outside his home, his bad black sheep behavior, which often veered off into the criminal, especially as a young man. But Eddie also wrote about his love of literature and his eventual success with the New York restaurant Bauhaus. We spoke with Eddie Huang back in March 2013. Now, if you, like many, are enjoying the show, here's some of our conversation with The Real Deal. Eddie began by talking about his Florida childhood.
On my block, it was me, there was Barry Larkin, three doors down from me. My Persian friend Romain was up the street. And then my other buddy, Eric, who was Dominican, was about two streets over. And we were the only people of color in the entire subdivision. All right, in Arnold Palmer's Bay Hill, that was it.
And this is after, as you got older. I mean, you know, this is when, wasn't when
yeah,
you were
I was
young.
14
as
years
your dad
old.
Got more successful, right?
Yeah, when I was 14, my dad became a millionaire. Growing up, we really never had money. So it was pretty shocking for me. My dad was successful. We moved to this neighborhood. But even in that neighborhood and even with money, money can only change you so much. I had already identified really as kind of a deviant, as kind of an outcast, as a person of color. And being in that neighborhood when the only black person was Barry Larkin, you know, we kind of all got lumped together.
What were some of the things that made you feel, I'm different?
There's racism everywhere. When I was 9 years old in Florida, this kid, Edgar, pulled me by my shirt, threw me to the ground in the lunch line and said, "Chinks, get to the back." Mm. And it wasn't that I realized. People made me realize what I was.
Well, get some more examples. As a younger child, I mean, your parents were Buddhist and you went to a Christian school because it was the better school. And the teacher there said to you, if you wanted to participate in class and go to heaven, you had to let Jesus in your heart.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it was kind of forced upon me. You know, I wanted to write the book because I wanted to write it for other kids like me who felt like there wasn't a voice talking about the things you go through, even in urban sprawl America. There are a lot of insidious things that happen to kids of all races and all walks of life in these neighborhoods in America. And I also, one of the big things we wanted to do is I wrote it in this voice. I wrote it with this vernacular and with this slang, because that's how we talk.
It's almost like Our Gang, but, you know, on steroids, you know, the old TV show. It's like you and your friends would talk tough and act tough and have this street lingo and play basketball. Horrific fights. You were
I was
ready
rebellious.
To go off. Yeah.
You know what it is I was hit at home a lot. My parents had a bit of trouble, and I felt like sometimes they took it out on me. And I remember even going to, like, psychologists and be like, you can blame them. It's okay. I'm like, I don't want to blame my parents.
Well, let's talk about that, because I, as I was reading, I was wondering, a lot of it was external, the racism that you faced every day as a little kid. But some of this was, it seemed, internal to the family. I mean, your dad, very tough on you. I mean, there's a lot of name calling. Your mom made you slap your face as you drove out of the car because she didn't like something that you did, so she made you constantly slap your face. Another time, the kids were hit with a brush and social services had to come.
Yeah, that was very, very strange to deal with social services.
Was that an immigrant experience they were having and reacting to? What do you think?
Yes, that's a very, very good intuition on your part. My mom came over when she was 17, and she was even the salutatorian of her high school without speaking English much. And she always told me, I always wanted to have kids early so I could grow up with them, because my grandmother, she had bound feet. And then right after my mom was born, or right before, my grandmother had an aneurysm. So my mother really didn't get that full experience with her mother. So she always wanted to have kids when she was young. She had me in college. She was about 20, 21 years old. And even though I'm technically second generation, my mom was only here 4 years when I was born. Mm. So it's almost like we came over together. But, you know, we discovered America together, and we really, really struggled. I remember my dad bartended and somebody ordered a martini, and he didn't know whether to put an olive or a cherry in it. Mm. I mean, somebody ordered a martini at a Chinese restaurant. That's their fault. You know, so they order the martini. My dad can't figure it out. He puts a cherry in it. He goes to the table, and they all laugh at him, like, ha, this Chinaman bring martinis with a cherry in it. And he got so mad. He didn't know what to say. He just came back with a bunch of olives and threw them on the table.
Yeah. So he's angry, too.
He's angry, too. We were all... This generation of immigrants in America, it was not easy to be born in the 80s in America and to grow up in that circumstance in the suburbs. It just goes to show you, you can have clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and food in your mouths. And the foundational levels of Maslow's pyramids of needs are taken care of. But emotionally, intellectually, mentally, there's so much more to being an American than food in your mouth. And I really feel like we were robbed of the American experience at times.
What would you say to other Asian kids who, I mean, there is that, you know, model minority pressure. The joke is, by the way, you were somewhere in there part of that model minority. You're really smart. And you know, ultimately, you know, when you weren't getting beaten up and getting blood all over your papers, you know, that you were submitting, you did prove that.
You know, you're asking amazing questions. I love this. You know, I went through the Asian Olympics. You know, I did the violin. I did piano. There's a certificate in my house somewhere. When I was 12, I was like National Guild Honorable Mention for piano. The world is so funny is when you don't hang out with people in the Asian community or in the Black community or in the Latino community, you see them as flat characters. America presents us as flat characters. Like, you're a gangster and you're a nerd and you're a model minority. But the thing is as much as I was a deviant, as much as I've gone almost out of my way to get in trouble at a lot of times, I think that now when we look back, probably people in the nation are like, that kid is a model minority. At the end of the day, he
successful,
went about it his own way,
ended
up at the same spot.
So what would you tell young people who might be feeling constricted by the expectation of them, or maybe feeling that the anger of the racism that they still perceive, or maybe feeling like, but wait a minute, Eddie Wong, I am not going to be able to have the restaurant and quote from Jonathan Swift the way you do.
It's two sides. I would tell young people, don't ever allow somebody to define you. You define yourself. And it might not even be productive to define yourself because you're always growing and you're always changing.
But wait a minute. I just want to make sure we're clear. Should they not fight back the way you did?
No. I think that if there's something... Man, I don't think I have many regrets. I know I probably wrote a couple in the book or something, but off the top of my head, you know, the journey is what makes you who you are. And I would tell young people, just don't do things because you think you're supposed to do things. Do things because you want to do them and you really are inspired and passionate about doing them. I always tell people there's Asians in mountains, there's Asians in lakes, there's Asians in Uggs and rollerblades. You could do anything you want to do, but I would tell older people, I really, truly believe we will be better off as a country if people gave young people the opportunity and experience to breathe and make some mistakes.
Eddie Huang, you've revealed a lot of family stuff here. What do your parents think about it?
My dad loved the book, and my dad's initial reaction was he told me, I'm sorry. And I said, what are you sorry about? I mean, are you sorry you hit me? Because that'd be cool. And he said, no, I'm not sorry about that. You deserved it. And he said, no, I'm sorry I brought our family to this country. And that really, really surprised me. And I said, Dad, don't be sorry because we won. We belong here. We are here. I'm happy here. And I'm American. You can't take that away from me. You can't take that away from yourself, you know. But my mom, she's scared to read the book because she cares about image. She cares about face. And my aunts and uncles have read it. My cousins read it. And I remember today she calls me.
Mom.
Yeah, my mom calls me today. She says, why'd you say that Dad hit me in the book? Is it because he did? And she said, but people don't need to know that. I said, Mom, you're going to have to swallow your pride on this one because this book, it's not for me, Mom. It's not for you. And it's not for Dad. This is for all the other people who are going through this in their lives as well. People who have trouble being Asian in America. People who have trouble being different in America. People who live domestic violence. And I said, this enables them to speak about it in a public forum. You have to allow this to happen. And she said, okay. And she gets it. She goes, but I'm not going to read the book.
Eddie, thanks so much for coming in to talk.
No, thanks for having me.